Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. You guys, this is awesome, seriously. I'm overwhelmed. And I'm grateful. So thank you. I have notes. I tried to memorize it. I was like, fuck it, because I just knew I'd get overwhelmed. But here's the thing. But I know it. Like, I know it. I'm like, I don't need them. I need them. But here's, I'm just going to tell you this. That I have to be honest, that the longest relationship I've actually ever had is with all of you. Truly. So thank you so much for coming and helping me celebrate 10 years of Sex with Emily. So a lot of people want to know how I got started with this whole Sex with Emily thing. And then, like a lot of sex stories, it actually started in politics. Believe it or not. I actually moved to San Francisco after college in Michigan, and I worked in politics. And I worked on campaigns, I worked at City Hall, and I directed a documentary called See How They Run. You can put it on iTunes. And I realized after that, though, I shot 157 hours of footage. I directed, I produced it, I edited, and I was like, you know what? What I like most about all of this is I really, really like interviewing people. Everything else kind of sucked, but I love the interview process. And I thought, like, what can I do, you know, like, that would just, like, I could just do that part. Because I've always been a really inquisitive person. Like, when I was a kid, my mom loves to remind me, I was kind of an annoying child. And she was like, Emily, I was going to bed, she was like, please, just one more question. Because I was always asking questions. It was like nonstop all day long. She's like, please just one more and go to bed. And then after the documentary, I had some freelance jobs. I was producing TV and commercials. But really, it was just paying the bills. And I was trying to figure out my next move. And this was actually 2005 when podcasting was first starting. I mean, I didn't even know what it was. I mean, does anyone know what it is really still? I think like Serial was like a godsend for people in podcasting. Like, oh, like Serial, podcasting? Totally get it. But like 10 years ago, whatever, I didn't know. But what I heard was that I could interview people without a camera, without editing, and without makeup. I was like, I am so in. Like, I'm doing this. It sounds awesome. So I hired this sound guy, Eddie, off Craigslist for like $20 an hour. And I picked the two topics. He was like, what are you doing? What? I picked the two topics that personally gave me the most strife. Because when you're an artist, you got to go with what, you know, what your thing is. And that was sex and relationships. See, since I can remember, I've constantly been examining relationships. Like, what is the point? And what makes them last? How do they work? Is anybody really happy in relationships? Like, really? Like, who's happy? And does monogamy, does it really work? Always been curious. And then there's sex, you know, the co-pilot to relationships. And that was another thing. I thought, like, you know, what makes amazing sex? And when I always had friends who were like, ugh, Emily, had the best sex of my life last night. I was like, what do you mean by that? I was like, what? No, no, seriously. Like break it down. Like, the best sex of your life? And they go, I'm like, wait, did you have like 168 orgasms? You know, were you swinging from the rafters? Like, was his penis double jointed? I mean, tell me, because like, I don't understand. Because like, I was certain that I had not had the best sex of my life. I just knew it. I was like, I mean, wouldn't you know? I'm like, I would know. But I don't know, for me, like maybe like knowing myself, like, you know, the sex is always greener, like in other people's bedroom. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe mine was good, but I really didn't think so. It's like, break this down for me. So what I did was, you know, I had this guy come over and I interviewed people for 6 hours straight. I was like, friends of mine, like varied relationships, like married, gay, straight, single. And I just sat there for 6 hours back to back. This was the first sex with them thing. I was like, oh my God. And when it ended, like, I wasn't thirsty. I wasn't tired. I wasn't hungry. I was like, oh, this is amazing. This was epic. Like, because I knew that we all learned from each other and these stories that I heard were great. And I loved it. I was like, this is it. Like, I found my thing. Like, I'm going to do this, you know? And I felt like I had finally found the one, you know? Like, for me, like, my life's purpose was always trying to find my life's purpose. And the first book I read when I graduated from college was Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. Anyone ever read that book? I wouldn't recommend it. Because I'd been living by that creed ever since. I was like, you know, I've got to find what I love because the money will happen and I'll be able to like make a living, you know. Oh, and I also thought like I should do something that would change the world too, because that felt important. You know, like changing the world and then like doing something that I loved. And I was certain that I'd always be working. Like, that was like my thing, because my mom, we'll get into her later. No, but she raised me and she was like, Emily, don't rely on anyone to take care of you. Like, you will be taking care of yourself. So like that book and like taking, I was like, oh, well then if I'm working, like I just should find what I love and then, you know, it'll all work out. So I posted my first podcast on, is this popping? Is it good? So I posted my first podcast on iTunes actually in June 2005, which when it was just starting, like right then, that moment. And I remember sitting there like about to upload it and I was terrified. Like, simultaneously I was afraid like everyone would listen and that no one would listen. But people liked it. They started emailing me. They were like, oh, this is cool. Like, I like your show. And I felt like, wow, yeah, I'm doing this. Like, I love what I'm doing. I was so in. I was like, hashtag like sex talk. I get to talk about sex for my entire life all day long. Like, I love this, you know? I was so in. Oh, yeah. I was like, sorry, fuck that up. I was like, hashtag dream job. That's what I meant to say. Okay, so 6 months later, this was the amazing thing. I got a call from the head of CBS Radio in San Francisco, and they were starting Free FM, which is an FM talk station. I think it was already in LA at the time. And he was like, I heard your podcast. It's great. Do you want to come do a live radio show in San Francisco, like on Saturday nights, and do your show podcast live? And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, in my mind, I wasn't thinking, yeah, this is going to lead to radio, because I was still doing odd jobs. I was like working in production, San Francisco, that means like indie films or commercials or whatever you can do. I was like, wow, radio, yeah, that sounds cool, sure. I mean, I'd never been in a radio station. And I learned really quickly that they don't teach you much in radio at all. I mean, he was like, just come in the station, you know? And really, he was like, okay, here's your station. There's the cough button, and I have a good time. I was like, cough button? Like, I don't get it. Like, what's the? But and like, Menace can tell you who's here tonight. Like, I still don't quite get the cough button. But really, it means that if you press it, like, and you cough, like, if you're going to cough, you press it, or if you sneeze, I guess, too. But that's all they told me. So I'm sitting there in this radio station, and I'm terrified. It's like 60 seconds counting down, and all of a sudden, this was me, like, the microphone in this room. Like, no one's in the room. Menace is in the other room in the glass, just going, like, who is this chick? And I had this flash. It was, like, literally 60 seconds counting down. I had this flash that my dad was a DJ. And he had died 15 years earlier. And my whole life, I mean, he was a lawyer. But, like, radio was his first passion. And I remembered that. When we were kids, like, he just always would walk around the house, like interviewing us with a microphone, and then we'd all start, we'd pretend we'd like fake radio shows in the house. And because my whole life, again, he was a lawyer, like he was went to law school because he was like, there's no money in radio. Like, I can't do this. But he loved it. And that's why he kept interviewing us. And he'd walk around like, this. His name is Joel. He's like, Joel Morris. He was like, this is JM and the AM. And he just literally, all tape recorders interview. And actually, I have a little clip here of one of our finer interviews from the Morris family.
Hi, this is Joel Morris and the Morris family, Michael, Emily, Susan, and Joel.
You said you had a daughter, Emily, and here's Emily.
Hi, glad to be here today.
Are you single?
Yes, I'm afraid so. But if any of these swimming guys would like to come pick me up tonight, I'm free. I'm just going to talk to you. Hello, my name is Emily. As all of you should know, my birthday's June 2nd. I'm almost 9.
Hi, Daddy. Emily's a man.
No, is that nice talk?
Michael's an ass. Michael's a dick.
Emily's an ass.
Okay.
Michael's an ass.
Okay, that was just a little family squabble that doesn't happen too often. Here's Emily who wants to talk.
That was really my first radio show, apparently. So I realized as I had this moment, because I literally had not thought about it until I end up in a radio station I didn't remember. And I thought, wow, this is my calling. Like, I owe it to my late father to educate people about oral sex on the air. Like, he would have wanted this. And radio was a blast. I mean, I loved doing live radio. It was like, oh my God, I mean, this is, it really is. Like, it's so fucking fun. And the thing is, like, now I had guests and I had callers and all that stuff, and I really would just find people just from my day-to-day life that I found interesting. I mean, we're in San Francisco, it's not like celeb. It was like, oh, you're interesting. So like one day my bikini waxer, Marilyn, was doing the whole, this is like when Brazilians were a big deal. And she was like, honey, Emily, I've got my finger on every hot pussy in San Francisco. And she did, because like she was in Pacific Heights, which is like, you know, nice neighborhood, San Francisco. And I'm like, yeah, she did. So I'm like sitting there, if you've got my legs are up in the air and ripping the hair. I'm like, Marilyn, why do we have to do this? Like, why do we have to like rip all the hair? What's the point? She's like, honey, if you want to sell the house, you got to mow the lawn. Right? I guess she's right. I don't know. Maybe I heard the bush is coming back, but I don't know. I was like, okay. It was gems like that that kept me going. You know, I was like, and I learned from everybody. I truly did. And since the show was live, you know, I did something I never did before. I actually was taking callers, and then they started asking me for advice, which was interesting because you're like, oh, you're the expert. I'm like, I'm not really like, I'm like. Well, I've got some, they're like, well, what makes you a sex expert? I was like, oh, I've got some hands-on experience. And I've had a lot of therapy. And the truth is, people weren't like it was more, you know, they were kind of a lot of things. And if I didn't know, I didn't know. But if someone's like, I think my boyfriend's cheating on me, and like I found this receipt from this like really romantic hotel, and he's using a lot of hair gel lately, and he never used that before. I'm like, yeah, he's totally, I'm sure he's probably cheating on you, you know, for sure. But you know, it was really fun. I mean, I loved doing it, and I did give advice, and I was happy to give advice. I'm always that person, you know, like helping people, you know, giving advice, doing things, and then the therapy again. Everyone, you should all have therapy. It's fun. So, 2 years into the radio show, I got a call, and they wanted to, someone, LA producer, San Francisco is very different, I know, on Loveline, like Drew and Mike, they always tease me, like, you act like San Francisco is another planet, but like, it kind of is. Yeah. It was like, oh, wow, you want to do a TV pilot? So we shot this TV pilot called Chasing Emily. I was like, that's really cool. They're coming up from LA for 5 days, and they're like doing a pilot. That's awesome. We got a little clip of this here.
Chasing Emily.
Woo! My name is Emily Morse, and I've taken my show, Sex with Emily, from a small town in the Midwest to the big city of San Francisco. Did you hook up with them that night?
Up against the wall and bent over on the sofa. Oh my God.
My whole life, friends have always asked me for advice. Now I have an audience of millions, and they're all looking to me for answers. Nothing is taboo.
Tell me what the sex is like.
Amazing.
If listeners want to know what it takes to be a stripper or the proper way to initiate a threesome.
Oh my God, girl.
girls here. I got guys. I'm having so much fun tonight.
I will find out and give them the straight answers. My life is my work and work is my life. And perhaps if I find the answers to your questions about sex and relationships, I'll find the answers to some questions of my own. Because I was really like, that'll help sex with Emily. And at this time, too, like, things were really looking up in my personal life. I was doing a lot of things to, like, advance my craft. You know, I started getting invited to a lot of sex parties. That was fun. Had my first threesome, like, one or two threesomes. I did naked yoga. I also went to One Taste in San Francisco. Anyone know about this? It's about slow sex, and they actually rub your clitoris. There's guys that come out, and they rub your clitoris for like 3 times a day for 15, but they like ring a bell, 15 minutes at a time, like, and they separate your, like, these guys were educated. They're like, there's 8 quadrants of the clitoris, and it was, I'm like, that feels good. Okay, I'll do, man, I'll do that. Like, I was like, I'll say yes to anything. Like, I'll try this, because I was taking my craft very seriously. You know, I really did want to be the expert. So in 2009, I also started going to sex school. Graduate school for my degree. I thought, you know, I'm gonna make this relationship with sex like serious now. Like, I'm just gonna solidify this and get a degree. And my podcast was also doing really well at this time. Yeah, I got my degree. How about that? And my numbers were up. And I was like quoted like in Cosmo and like New York Times and like Wired, and like things were really good. And most importantly, I was doing what I loved, right? And we know that that really matters. You have to like do what you love. And I had no doubt in my mind at all that the money would just start rolling in, like raining from the sky. So I quit everything else I was doing and I took out a loan and I started podcasting full time in like 2008 or 2009, because that's a really good idea still. No one even knows today really what a podcast, but I did that. And because really I felt like I was so close, like, and my mom's like, you keep saying that, like, I was like, come on, I'm this close. I mean, sex sells, like, what could possibly go wrong, you know, really. But soon after, I found out that Chasing Emily, it didn't get picked up, which I thought was bullshit, because I'm like, what, like, who shoots a pilot and doesn't pick it up and spends all that money? Like, they're gonna spend 5 days shooting, like, what a waste of money. Stupid business, you know? I don't understand. But I realize that, like, failed pilots don't really pay the bills, and neither does a free podcast. And that's when my family started flying in from Michigan for interventions. They thought it would be a really good idea for me to move back home. And honestly, I couldn't blame them. Things were not looking very good on paper. And I mean this quite literally, because I became obsessed with note-taking around this time. I every single thought that I had, or other, I was having conversations with people, I was like writing it down furiously, and then I would plaster them all to my wall in my tiny apartment in San Francisco. So you walked in and it was like notes and everything that was gonna make everything brilliant and work and like funny, and my mom walked in, it looked like a scene from A Beautiful Mind. And she just looked at me and she was like, "Em, what's plan B?" And I was like, "Morning after pill?" What? She was like, "You know, Starbucks has great health benefits. They really do." I was like, "I'm not working at Starbucks." She's like, "Well, you love shoes. You could sell shoes at Nordstrom." She was, yeah. You guys ever have that? Your parents like, what are you gonna do? And so without money coming in, truly things began to unravel. I was still doing the show every week. Like, I literally, in 10 years, I've never not done a podcast every week. And I'm like, I gotta do the podcast. There's so many other things I haven't done, but I do that. But without money coming in, it was unraveling. And I started doing things like, I was cleaning apartments. Swear to God, I don't even clean my own, but I was cleaning apartments. Anything for money.
I was driving friends to the airport before Uber. I was like, just give me the $40. You don't have to tip me. Like, I'll drive you to the airport. I started selling, like, everything I owned. I didn't have a ton, but, like, I was selling, like, my... I thought people would buy my hangers and my, like, my suitcase. I sold my juicer. Oh, I started modeling, too. I worked at 1-800-RADIATOR. I was like, hi, it's Emily, 1-800-RADIATOR. May I help you? I mean, I was doing everything to avoid working. That's me at the radiator company. No joke. No fucking joke. I was like, I'm not working at Starbucks. I sold everything on Craigslist. The juicers that pissed me off the most, because it was like a really nice juicer, and I sold it for like $50. Fine, I'll take it. But I never sold my body on Craigslist. And I'm very proud of that. But then there was like a pivotal moment, okay? Really, like there was like this light bulb moment. I was having lunch with a friend, David, in San Francisco, and he was an investment banker, and he's one of my friends who's like shaking his head at me. He's like, Emily, you've been talking about this like having no money and this thing for so long. Let me ask you a question. What percentage of the time do you spend on the creative part of Sex with Emily? And what percentage of time do you spend on the business? And I'm like, oh, so easy. I'm like, 98% on creative and 2% on business. Which was actually a lie, because I only probably spent, I've spent 1.5% like stressing out that I wasn't focusing on business. So, but this was the moment. Like, this was the moment when it all changed for me, because I was like, yeah, like I'm not focusing on it, you know? And so then I started thinking, I gotta just figure this out. I gotta meet people. And I went to my first sex toy trade show, because I'm like, where do people who like sex hang out? So I went to Las Vegas, and I went to this trade show called the International Lingerie Show. A lot of sex toys, a lot of lingerie. And it was the first time that I actually stuck way too many vibrators through TSA, which I now I do all the time. It's kind of fun. And it was also the first time that I had like a semblance of idea of like how I could somehow like do what I love and make this business work. And I started to like, okay, so the thing is, What I realized was that here I was asking all my listeners to face their fears and become uninhibited in the bedroom and like do all these things, but yet I was not facing my fears at all when it came to business. Speaking of business, I do need to thank my sponsors, because they rock. Without them, we would not have free food, we would not have drinks tonight, and I would not be able to do my show.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out, so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, so remember Chasing Emily, like my one pilot wonder thing? some producers, they'd seen it and they're like, oh, do you want to do like this other reality show? And I'm like, okay, you know, and at this time I was like, whatever. Like, I didn't even believe that this anything happens or gets on TV. I was like, fine. And it was called Misadvised. It was about three single dating experts. Do we practice what we preach? And this was on Bravo. It actually was on the air.
You're listening to Sex with Emily.
My life purpose is to help people have better and more adventurous sex.
Has he ever performed oral sex on you before?
Not at
all. Well, you used to have a talk with him about it.
Love is infinite. We all have the ability to love many people.
Yeah, I get attracted to people and I want to have sex with them.
My favorite call is a booty call.
I promise, it'll be the most fun you've ever had. Are you?
Good, how are you?
I had a date last night.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's bisexual. And he's bisexual. He sleeps with men and women. No.
Why would you possibly go out with somebody like that?
He's Jewish.
Right? So what, Mom? Don't be so judgmental. Okay, so that happened. That was fun. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was dating the whole time. Because, again, I'm always trying to, you know, do research. And girls got to have a life. And I had boyfriends. I was casually dating. Had a few open relationships and stuff like that. It was fun. But here's something fun that I learned. Every single guy that I dated was like, oh, no, I don't listen to your podcast. I don't even know what that is. I don't listen to podcasts. Except for that they all did. And I don't know what part they were listening to, because clearly they were not listening to the sex tip parts. They were just like, oh, so you had two dates at the museum this weekend. Really? And they were all like doing their research on it. I'm like, you suck. Listen to the sex tip parts. They would be together. But let me just say this. It was not necessarily easy to date me, because I was obsessed with my work. I'd be like, yeah. They'd be like, hey, Emily, you want to hang out? I'm like, totally. Just bring your laptop over, we'll order a pizza, it'll be fun, you know, because that was really all I did was work. And I didn't realize these are like, I was going to become so defined by sex, because my first name became sex. It was like, oh, here's sex, sex, oh, you're the girl with the sex with Emily. And Google was not my friend at all. Because, like, I'm dating this guy, and he's like, oh, we're going to meet the parents, like, meeting the parents, like, in Google, not good. And he's like, oh, me and your parents. And he's like, oh, by the way, my dad Googled you this morning, and it's anal sex month. And that's the first thing that came up on your website. And till this day, like, one of the top questions I get asked, like, are guys really intimidated to date you? And the thing is, I think, like, no, like, I'm not sitting there, like, with a bullhorn, like, to the left, man, like, this is what you gotta do, you know? I mean, sometimes I take, like, notes, like, post-coital. Like, if something funny happened or interesting or fun, but no, I'm not like that. But, like, you probably shouldn't date me if you're not cool that, like, I have a Sibian sitting in my living room. Like, that might not work. I do. What? We didn't name it yet. We're giving away the Sibian. We have a naming contest. I can't tell you the name yet. We haven't picked it. Oh, Sibian. Thank you. Oh, okay, Sibian. Well, it's a mountable sex toy. You might have seen it on Howard Stern. And you can ride it, like how women like ride cowgirl position. And it plugs into the wall. It's very, very powerful. There's two motors. And it has attachments. And you can put attachments on it and ride it.
Spoiler
and
whip.
Why? I'm not getting on it tonight. Google it. But I do have a Sibian. I have a lot of other sex toys in my house, too. It's a good time. So really, so back to Misadvised, right? I said that. I was cast as the experts, and that turned out okay. I actually am so proud, because I was one person that was, not one. People have been in reality shows and didn't look like assholes. I didn't look like an asshole, and I was so grateful, because the whole thing was called Misadvised, like, are we misadvised? So soon after that, I actually decided to move to L.A. I was like, why not? I'm going to go to L.A. Because I protested for so long. I'm like, why do I have to be in L.A.? Like, I can do everything in San Francisco, but it just kind of made sense. But soon after I got to L.A., I came Loveline, and I was Like the holy grail. I was like, really? Like I can be on Loveline sometimes? That's so fucking cool. I love Loveline. I always love Loveline. I couldn't believe it. And I'm so honored to be a part of it. And but I remember it was so funny because meeting with Dr. Drew's here, and Mike Catherwood, I think, is here, and everyone. We're all going to get on stage later and talk and do fun stuff. But I remember, like, in 2007, I met Max Krasny, who worked at Westwood One. Max here? Max. And he was like, and I was only 2 years in. He was like, Emily, chill out. He's like, do you know that Loveline was on the air for, like, 10 years before it, like, went 5 days a week and, like, anything happened? I'm like, 10 years? Like, I can't wait 10 years for anything to happen, you know? But, will I be alive in 10 years? Like, this really? But it all worked out. I stuck with it. So when I started this podcast 2005 in my living room, my goal was to learn more about sex and relationships and to help others because I felt like there was so much suffering around relationships and sex. In fact, I personally had a lot of suffering around relationships and sex. I made all those mistakes. I stayed in mediocre relationships for too long, had a lot of bad sex, wasn't a great communicator. I attended 4 of my parents' weddings when I was 25, went through divorces. So that explains a lot of it, right? And so my vision really was to save the world one orgasm at a time. And I'm so glad I persevered because this was my passion and it still is. And believe it or not, people always say to me, like, really, like, don't you run out of things to say? Is what else could you, like, sex, you could talk about it forever? But the truth is that every day, there is another woman who is not having an orgasm. And there's another guy who isn't quite certain what the clitoris is. If you don't know, it's that button above the vaginal opening. Just like, look for the man in the canoe. I'm so thankful, though, to be the person who came to learn more because there's still so much all to learn. And I look forward to the next 10 years. And I just want to thank you all for supporting the show. And for being here. I love my team, by the way. This only took 10 years. I have the most awesome staff. So thank you, Madison, Lissa, Lori, Eddie, everyone, intern Jamie. Okay, so technically, this is a live podcast, which I've never done. In fact, it's so funny because I, in my mind, I'm like, do people listen? Like, I see numbers, but you never really see anyone. I love you. Thank you for listening. So I'm just going to do what I do best, what I know. So we'll just start this.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. I'm gonna bring up Menace right now. Menace, so I got thrown into, I told you, CBS Radio, and Menace is working the board. And I don't think we really talked that much at the beginning, but Menace was like a young kid. He was sleeping at the radio station, actually, and living his car. And I remember, what do you remember? I don't know. It was fun, but you didn't talk on the show a lot, but you were just fucking pulling your hair out because this was the same time of the Janet Jackson nipple slip and all that FCC stuff, and I'd be like swearing, and I did a show on masturbation, and they're like, you can't say masturbation. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And so like I had to like look up euphemisms and manners, and he's like, oh, would you stop?
Yeah, just a quick backstory. My first memory, I was just in shock and fear doing the show with Emily. Because a quick backstory was, I was doing a morning radio show in San Francisco, and I was making a lot of money. I was very young, And
you were?
Yeah.
Making money? Oh, good.
Oh, I'm going to get to the point.
Sorry.
God.
Fine, go.
All right. So I was making a lot of money, and I wasn't saving any of it. I get fired. I end up living in my car. And I go to CBS Radio, and I say, is there anything I can do? And then the program director says, yeah, there's this girl. She has a sex show, and it's going to be on the weekends. She's going to need some help. She doesn't have much radio background, which she was lying because she had zero radio background. And I said, yeah, sure, you know what? I'll take whatever. And then so it's the first night, and then she just gets on the air. She's drinking wine. I'm like, what
my guess. I always got my wine lubricated.
Your guess. You were drinking half the bottle the whole time.
I was not a drinker.
But I'm like, okay, I've never been around this type of environment, but we'll work with it. And then next thing I know, she's dropping, like, you know, blowjob and hand job. And I go, what the hell? Because that's where the shock and fear is. It's like, great, I'm already going to get fired. And I'm, like, leaving my car. And I'm like, oh, it's all over for me. And then so I get to know her some more and find out again. Yeah, she has no radio background. And then and this is, like, right, this is like, you know, right after Janet Jackson, Super Bowl. So the FCC is, like, on us like crazy. And so she, every time she said something bad, we hit the dump button, right? But she could see me hitting the button. So I go and I hit the button. And on the air, she goes, why'd you do that? I go, who is this woman? I'm dying here. I go to the program director. I'm like, are you sure? Is this like the right thing to do? Like, this is very risky. But then eventually she got it and the show just got better and better. And we had such great times together in San Francisco. And and then we did that for a couple years together. I'm just going off these questions here because I think.
What was the question? Okay.
The other question
know.
Was.
I didn't plan this. This is the least planned show.
Oh, don't worry about it. The other question is, like, who's my favorite guest on the show? And I would have to say my favorite guest is Emily. I love when the show flips it around on Emily. No. Okay, you're officially the most annoying person in the room. But the other thing is, my. No, my favorite part is like...
He always is mean. I'm not the mean one.
I tell the honest truth. No, I love it when it like flips around on Emily and we get to know like what's really going on with Emily when she's like being honest and say, oh, you know, I just met this guy and this is how the situation happened. Or she tells me like some weird sex party she went to and she's like painted in solid gold. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
King.com.
Like King.com. Weird, crazy stuff that I never even heard before. And then, I find that the most interesting. But I also like when we have guests where it's just like, just normal day to day people, and we have like a group discussion together. I think.
Yeah, people like that. It's funny because we do this survey, and I always wonder like, what do you like? What don't you like? Everyone's like, I just like the banter. I'm like.
Just the banter. And like, she always hated that, too.
What about...
She would always
like,
hate that stuff.
I just like you talking about stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll just...
She's like, are we even talking about sex right now? Like, why are we talking about the Kardashians?
Because I got, like, one... No, people get mad because you talk about the Kardashians. I didn't have a TV. The other thing is that, okay, I didn't... I still... Okay, now I have a TV, but I never had a TV ever for 20 years. And when I did the Bravo show, they were like... You have to watch. You can't be on our network and not have seen a show. And then they bought me a TV. Menace came over and installed it.
Yeah, I installed the cable.
I don't have TVs, but he was talking about the Kardashians. Yeah. I'm like, no one fucking cares about the Kardashians. But and then people were like, one person emailed was like, you guys talk too much. Then I thought we shouldn't talk so much. You can't read, listen to that.
Oh no, I don't care. I delete all the emails. But another thing was, what makes your eyes roll?
Like everything.
Everything. Like, I think because, like, 90% of the questions that we get are pretty much just how to talk to your partner. And I think it's just talk to your partner. What's the big deal, you know? Like, what the
just
hell?
Just tell them that you haven't had an orgasm in 20 years. Why are you telling us?
Like, why?
You should probably
like,
know that.
You share that freely with us. But the person that you're sleeping with, it's very, very hard. But I understand to have that
communication
type of,
is lubrication.
Yeah. That's
your no, life. It's true. Like people, we do a lot. A lot of our questions are too. Like, how do I say this? How do I say this? I'm like, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off. But that's how you're gonna have better sex.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what makes my eyes roll.
We need to communicate better, though. Maybe that's good. I'm glad. I thought you were gonna say something else.
No.
Like
that's
me
it.
Being
No, but I love, I got to move to Los Angeles and now we
I'm so
get
happy
to be together.
Because I left him and I was like, what the fuck, how am I going to do this without Menace? And then we would tried the, because I was here a year before you, and we tried to like patch it in together. And...
Yeah, it was so ghetto. So what we did was, Emily moved to Los Angeles a year before me, like she just said. And what we would do is we would call each other on our iPhones and wear earbuds and talk to each other. And then we would hit record at the same time. And then she would send me the audio file, and then I'll match them up like we're in the same room. But Emily didn't know how to work the effing recorder like 90% of the time. So we would record like 2 hours of show, and then she would send me the file, and I go, Emily, this file's like 2 seconds long. Like, what the hell is wrong?
I never want to operate any of the equipment ever. It's still the cough button. I like sneeze.
Yeah, the cough button. I've been in radio 18 years. I've never used it once. I don't even know what it's for either, so don't worry about that.
If you cough.
Yeah. But okay. You know a guy that would probably know that is Anderson.
Anderson. So yeah, I moved to LA. I started doing the show, and then I met Anderson because Menace is not always available. He also does a show.
I do
the Woody Show.
It's called part of a morning show. It's called the Woody Show.
And Anderson, I met on Loveline. And Anderson was like, "I'll start doing your show."
Yeah,
I did.
You guys have never really met.
I don't recall agreeing to it ever. I don't remember
how it happened.
So this
These
is Menace,
huh? Dudes.
No, I've met Anderson.
This is the dude, huh?
Oh yeah.
No, really, he doesn't get it. Like Anderson gets a little jealous.
Oh, he does?
She's always talking about this other dude. We're trying to do a show, and she's like, hey. That's like that one time with Menace. I'm like, who the fuck is Menace? Enough with the Menace already.
No, I share it with everybody. Don't worry about it.
So I love tonight. This is great. It's fantastic for M. A bunch of sexual deviants in the improv. The world-famous Hollywood improv is awesome.
This is awesome.
And I know we have some questions and stuff, but I got caught up. I got caught up with your monologue, which you killed it, by the way. Fantastic.
Great. I was freaking out. And,
there's this one part that I got hung up on, though, when you were telling me upstairs and I didn't have a chance to ask, and then you said it again on stage. Something about people touching your nethers.
Oh my God.
In
I was there.
GIFs.
And
what's
you
going on with
there
that?
For the you weren't there. Well,
I was
the San
there.
Francisco
don't
Jacks.
Lie.
What's
I was
it called?
There. No,
what's
I wasn't called? In the room when it happened.
The
but
guy
I,
who, okay. It's
what,
called,
First Taste?
Okay. It's called One Taste.
One Taste.
And it's in San Francisco. It's this woman, Nicole Daydon, started it. It's slow sex is the whole movement. Mm-hmm. And their whole thing is that there's a bunch of people live in a house. They call themselves orgasmic monks. It's very noble.
Yeah.
And they live in this house together, men and women, and you get paired up. Like, the women get paired with like one guy a month or something, and they all live together. But they, like, ring a bell 3 times a day, and then the guy just, like, massages your clit in a very particular way.
So some dude massaged your...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I met this guy.
You met
and
a
then I had him on the show. I was like, this was awesome. Do you want to come on the show and talk about massaging my clitoris?
Yeah, and so this guy gets on the show and he's like,
wait, what was the guy like?
A total creeper. So he's
yeah,
like,
I think so.
He gets on.
Is he getting paid to do this? Yeah. He's getting paid to touch you.
No, they don't get paid.
No. It's all volunteers.
It's from their heart. They're giving back. You know, thank fucking God there's some guys out there who are like, I want to understand female pleasure.
Uh-huh.
I love
this guy. Comes
what's
in,
his day job?
Yeah.
What does this guy do?
What he tries? I don't fucking care because he's really good.
What he tries to sell us is like, I'm here. I just want to help people. You know, I'm just doing it to help people. Yeah, totally.
Did he have a beard? Did you call him father?
No beard. He was normal. He was actually cute.
He was cute.
No robes, nothing weird.
Is he still doing this?
Weird.
Is he like massaging someone's
clit right
now?
He's my friend on Facebook, and he's always like, hey, smiley face.
Is he here?
Tongue. I don't think he's here. He's like, I miss you and your little man in the canoe. No.
All right, Anderson. So you've been doing the show with her for quite a while.
Wait, I got one more question.
Okay. Okay.
All right, your Jewish Russian landlord, did he make it tonight?
Okay.
Because I really want to meet that fucker. Is he here? No. No way.
I told them I was going to mention him today. They go, please don't, please don't, please don't. They got nervous. So I thought that they didn't know what I... So I live in behind...
Is he here, really? Is that him?
Some of them are here, yes. Do you want to come up?
So they're finally going to get it. Like, your landlord's finally going to get it. Won't be scared when they walk in your house anymore.
I've had some instances where I was like, do they know what I do? Do they know what I do? Like, I don't know. Like, yes, the garage is filled with sex toys, and I'm nervous. Like, if they kick me out, I think I'm weird. And then the other day I came home... And there's the doorway, and she was like, hey, oh, so this guy I'm dating, who's over there, you can wave. And she's like, so, Emily, she was like, and we've never really talked about what I do. I mean, we had a little bit, but I haven't talked. She's like, so, like, what's the deal? Like, you're dating someone? Does he meet your standards? Is it weird for guys to date you? Because, like, how do you, like, I think it'd be really hard. I'm like, so you know, do you guys know? And she's like, oh, we saw your show. It's happening at the Improv. And I was like, how do you know? How do you know?
They follow you on Facebook.
I guess so. And I'm so happy they don't kick me out. I'm like, yes, come to the show. So, hello.
She's got many stories. Most of you probably heard
it. You guys
it,
are on my show a lot.
They walk like...
Her who was
landlord
your dad?
Will walk
I'm
in
sorry.
And be like, what is all this
fix...
sex toys everywhere? What are you doing?
He never said that, but I tried to hide them all once and he came... Not hide them, but they were all in my apartment. And he wanted to fix something in the kitchen, so I put them all by the window in the bedroom.
Oh, that reminds me.
But then he went to open the window and they're all... Like, you couldn't walk over it. And I was like, oh my God, they're hating me. They think I'm weird.
What about your cleaning lady? Is she here?
I did not invite her. No. Mm. But she's found a lot of stuff, too, in my house.
Yeah. Em was banging in her back bedroom while her cleaning lady was cleaning her kitchen. And it happened to have a rack for dishes, but Em had put her sex toys that she had recently cleaned on the rack. And while she was banging, it occurred to her, my cleaning lady's out there dealing with my dirty toys.
She did not touch them.
She's living the life. She really is.
It's a good time. Did she quit? Did you guys fire her? Because she's the only one. You guys have someone else
oh,
now.
Are there secrets coming out now? Is this costing people jobs? I don't want that.
She's not that good of a cleaner.
Now, Anderson, you've been around Emily for a while now. Is there any like quirks that you've picked up on?
Yeah, I see Emily, like when we work together, I see her about 40% of the time. The other 60%, her head's in her purse. Very
it's in my
deep.
Purse a lot.
What are you looking for in your purse, by the way? What's in there?
My whole life is in my purse. Like,
she's like, a digger. She digs.
Like, I'm always digging. But the thing is, I dig on the ground, so like I put it on the ground.
And then she squats down. Like, it looks like a Natural Geographic picture. Yeah. And she's digging for something, God knows what. I don't know if it's the answers, but then she always gets it together right before we push the music for the song. And I got to tell you, you know, I do a lot of stuff during the week, and my favorite 45 minutes to 1 hour and 15 is usually with you. I love it.
Thank you.
So it's always a lot of fun.
That's so sweet.
It goes by so much.
That's so sweet. And I know Anderson doesn't really like that many people.
I hate pretty much everybody, yeah. But
which I didn't
good,
know.
Yeah.
I'm like, you like me? Really? Now I'm so afraid one day he's going to not like
and
me.
And you know what? Mike Catherwood brought up a great point a few months ago. She has all the qualities that you would hate in most people, but somehow... She's awesome. I don't know what it is, but there's something about her that she like pulls it off. You know what I mean, man?
Totally. Is Mike here?
Like, if you see her on paper, like, fuck her. No, I don't want to have anything to do with that woman. But then you meet her, and she's like, oh, my God, I love this girl.
No, I heard he said that on the air because I left one night, and there was a guest, and I guess he said, God, she's just, she is, like, the most annoying, like, there's all these annoying things,
annoying
she's not really
wasn't
annoying.
Used necessarily. Hate?
Okay, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, what the quirks. I have no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. But... But yeah,
mine would be it's just too much talking.
But that's her job.
I know, but Jesus H. Christ, because it's like it's 5,000 miles per second when you talk. And then remember when you had that boyfriend that had a rule where you couldn't talk after 8 o'clock?
Yes, I do.
What was that? And I agree with him.
He was like, "Can we just like not talk after 8 o'clock at night, like before 8 a.m. in the morning?" I was like, "No." Like, there's no fucking way. Like, I get going.
How long did that last for after you said that?
A few months. Not
a few months?
Long. No, yeah. Not at all.
Because you have
like,
to talk. Constantly.
What would we do? Like,
it's
watch TV?
It's exhausting at times. Well, just exhausting. Because I get up so early in the morning.
I get it. Whatever.
Hey, Em.
Yeah.
Can we talk to probably the most sound-minded person in your life?
Yeah.
Dr. Drew? Can you
Dr.
go on?
Dr. Drew, get up here.
That chair is for you. Why don't you sit on the table with your...
Thank you for being here. Dr. Drupinski, we do love letting you hang out.
This one isn't working. With testing? No.
Sort of. This one's working.
I'm not the tech person.
You live.
Hi, Drew.
You live.
You live.
You live so hard.
So, Anderson, explain where that came from.
You live? No, yeah. I don't agree with you live. I think it's degrading to women, and I'd rather not talk about it. Thanks, Drew.
All right, done.
It comes from Loveline. But it came from...
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Emily, great job. This has been very entertaining.
Thank you. Was
and
it
fun.
Good? I told you.
It's been good for me. Yes, it's been good for me.
Was it good for you?
Yes, good for me. Susan, good for you? Good for her.
Okay, so, good.
But I learned a lot more even tonight. I thought
you
I knew
did?
You well. Yeah,
there's
more
stuff.
Monks, like rubbing your clit.
Yeah, you probably heard that.
No, I did not about that, but you'd be a prime candidate for a cult. You'd be awesome. In fact, just the fact that you're spending a lot of time in your garage accumulating materials, 877 threat for you guys, the landlords. I'm just saying.
The whole garage is sex toy.
I'm just a little scared.
I'm a sex toy hoarder. Don't worry. It's okay. I stopped hoarding papers.
And you've been very gracious with providing us with those instruments.
I know. Mm-hmm. See, I always show up with gifts. Like, I go to the house for dinner. I'm like, I didn't bring any food. I'm not a cook, but here's vibrators.
Nine dildos.
Here's some lube.
I'm a good time. Invite me for dinner. I won't probably bring wine or anything, but got some toys.
What's your dream, Em?
And now we're getting to the Apex M people.
Or what?
Apex M. Or you sell a different product.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Intensity. I've become obsessed with pelvic floor health. This is not the
problem. No, not the pelvic floor. Please.
Yes,
Kegel exercises.
Yeah. She has brought me into it.
Kegel exercises. So I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp. Who does Kegel Camp?
Prove it.
Because if you don't do your Kegel exercises, you sneeze and then you pee and then you laugh and then you pee and then you can't have the whole thing.
But see, device that I'm selling takes care of all that.
Yeah, for mine too. Yeah, the Intensity. Yeah. Everyone check it out. They're one of ours. We're giving great shit away tonight too. Yeah, we work with them and we've had
she
a good time.
She does give great shit away. It's true.
Yeah, we do give some good stuff away. Yeah. So this is.
So you happy with this?
I don't know yet. I'm probably
since Manus likes turning it around on Emily.
No, yeah, yes, I am happy with this. I was very nervous. You saw me upstairs. I'm like, Drew, you're not comforting me enough. And he goes, not like you comfort me ever. I mean, not in a mean way. You walked up to the green room and you insisted. I'm like, Drew, I'm so nervous. You're like, you'll be fine. It's a very forgiving room. I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, we need forgiving, so if I fuck up, they'll still laugh.
I just wanted a hug.
That?
Yeah.
Mike Carano stood up here with me for 2 hours, and they loved it. That's how forgiving it was.
Mike Carano's like funny. Hi, Carano. Thanks for taking pictures and being awesome.
But listen, are you happy now? Is this a place in your life when you're really, really happy? Yes.
It's so elusive.
No.
Are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy. I'm really happy.
It seems like you've been getting happier as time goes on. As long as I've known you, you've been more and more satisfied,
more
happy.
I am. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for noticing. I'm happy. No, because I think I am. I'm a lot more content. I feel like I'm much more comfortable with my place in the world and who I am, and I can pay my rent.
Are your parents fine? I mean, your mom finally cool with it? Well, she was on the show not too long ago. She's
yeah.
finally, no more
Oh, my God, no more Plan B. I mean, that just stopped, like, last year. Maybe a year and a half ago, she was like, what is your Plan B? But she literally stopped. And she's happy. Yeah, my mom's happy. She really just, yeah. No, she's like, she's cool. As long as I'm not calling her crying and freaking out.
Have you ever introduced sex toys to your mom?
Yes.
Well, not so, that's why I asked.
Well, when she was on my show, which
right,
recently,
I was there, yeah.
all her friends listened to it. And she's like, well, she was sitting there like, she and my stepdad were on the show.
Cutest couple ever.
They're so
cute. Like, it's something to aspire to.
They're so happy. I mean, she's just, my mom's so chill, too. She just doesn't get, like, where all this comes from. I'm like, I can't even blame my mom.
What toy did you give her?
No, but she heard me talking about the Sibian, and her eyes were like, what are you talking about? Because it was the ad we were reading. And then, like, the Kegels, she's like, what are you doing? But
your
no.
mom's Kegels alone, really.
No,
leave
but
them alone.
She was, they were there, yeah. No, they're happy. They loved it. They're just like, thank God, just don't call me crying and panic that you can't pay your rent. Because they weren't like, my family wasn't the like, we're going to bail you out. They were like, work at Starbucks. So she's just happy that she doesn't have to hear those calls anymore. And LA has been awesome. And I love working in Loveland. But I get so insecure, like at first. I'm like, but you're like Dr. Drew and you're at Loveland. Like, what if I suck? And I say, I'm stupid.
You don't suck.
I know, but since
you're
I worry.
Great. So surprising.
You trained her well on radio,
no,
by the way.
No, way, because. I was so surprised because
I don't think anymore at the beginning.
And I wanted to say what you can't appreciate is what Menace was under when you first arrived on radio. Radio went through an overnight upheaval.
That nipple.
That
nipple
killed us. The nipple slipped, which I might have tonight.
Listen,
you might do it again.
I tried so hard not to, but
we got memos. I'm sure you got the same one saying basically you cannot mention in.
Yeah.
I was just gonna do that.
Basically, you cannot. mention anything of a sexual nature, nothing about anything about anatomy, nothing you have to find other ways. You have to be more Catholic than the Pope. We were literally told if the Pope can't say it, you can't say it.
And the nipple wasn't even that good. Janet Jackson's nipple was not worth all the grief.
And Stern was kicked off the radio. Stern left radio.
Here we have to do a sex show.
Well, we were doing the same thing, and it was daunting.
So, because that's what's been so amazing about being in Loveline, that you guys are like Kathy, were like, oh, and then she came on her face. I'm like, you could come on the face. We couldn't say that anything happened on something else.
It loosened up a little bit over the years, and Anderson may be dropping half of that stuff anyway. Who knows?
Just don't ask me about it, all right?
Well, but I'm so glad you're happy. I'm so glad you had this, and I'm so glad there's so many people here supporting you.
I know. I am not
surprised that people like, because podcasting is really, it's a little different than radio. It's really just kind of just hanging out with somebody.
Yeah.
And that people like to hang out with you. I understand that, and I like to hang out with you. These people like to hang out with you. That's why I knew this room would be fine for you, and it would all go well. Right?
Right. No, this is going well. I feel good. I might end up in a ball at the end of the night. Yeah. We have Q&As. We're going to answer your questions, too. Yeah,
I got a question for the audience real quick. Like, how many of you have thought of Emily while having sex at one time or another because of the advice that she's given you?
Yeah.
A round of applause.
Be honest. Oh, I see some hands.
It's weird.
Thanks for Emily. Ross has.
Ross has.
A little popping. Emily popping.
He raised his hand. I was checking on.
But can I say something about Emily on Loveline? It was crazy because... we didn't see each other for a really long time, and I was still living in San Francisco, and I drove down to LA, and I got to sit in during Loveline, and I would sit in, and I would hear her on the show, and I was like, damn, she's really good. Like, what the hell is going on here? I was so surprised.
You never told me that about anything in my entire life.
Because everyone kisses your ass, and I'm not going to be one of those people.
Nobody kisses my ass, but okay, whatever.
But... It was so good, and I was so impressed. And like when I see you on TV, you like nail it all the time, and it's so good because when I first like worked with you, it's just like it just all over the place, like scatterbrained. And I'm like, what is this? And then, but you're doing great here in Los Angeles, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I love you all. You're so awesome.
So does your audience have questions? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, do you guys? I thought this might be a good time. If anyone has any questions. Sex, relationship questions for me, question for us, anything?
Don't be afraid.
If not, we've got other things we can do. Don't get
it. Emily can talk.
Yeah.
Anybody, seriously.
Okay.
This is the time.
There's one.
Oh,
yes, make a comment. Yes. I want to add something. Lily's an old friend of mine.
One thing that Emily said has said, and one thing that's always said to me is how many people over the years have said what you're doing isn't a good idea and you need to do it differently, and you just have pushed back so hard.
You saw me there cleaning the houses and doing the things. Yeah. As a friend, right.
Yeah, and I think that I've learned that from you. Like, if people say it's not a good idea and you feel like it is, screw it.
Yeah.
I remember when we were doing, we left Free FM and went to another radio station called Alice 97.3. It's a like
terrible
a,
name.
So like a, it's like a soccer mom type station. And they're like, yeah, we really want the show, but can you just change the name? We just, you know, we can't sell this show because it has the word sex in it. And then Emily said, she put her foot down. She's like, I'm not changing the name. And they were like, we're going to make you some money, you know, if we can just change that name. And she said no. And they still ended up putting the show on
I still
radio.
Did that, though. Like, yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, even like my agent, he's like, I love it. Sex on me, it's brilliant. It's so good, but I'm so sorry. We gotta change the name. I'm
like, well, people wrote questions.
Can't change the name. People wrote questions. I get it.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. It. Okay. I love it.
Says Dr. Drew right there.
No.
How many times do you need to have sex to develop feelings?
Ooh. One if you're a girl, right?
That person.
How many times? With the same person?
Well, right. With the same person. But that goes at that. Both of you in your quips there pull out something, you know, sort of pull a curtain back on a truth, right? Which is the biology of sexuality creates bonding, you know, the oxytocin release, and there's a sort of bonding experience. And under the influence of testosterone, the oxytocin doesn't work, and it's enhanced under the influence of estrogen. So women get that experience more vividly, though men will also get obsessed. And particularly these days, you've been seeing those weird obsessions that men get. you know, when they start developing a relationship with somebody.
Right, right, exactly. They're, we were talking about this about, but this, we were talking about this in love, like that people, you felt that men were not getting obsessed before, or you think they're just getting more verbal?
It's getting weirder. Yeah, it's getting
Can
weirder.
You explain this phenomenon? Because okay. I was still like,
how many times have sex before you got feelings? It can be one time for anybody.
But that's the thing. They get attached.
It could be 100 times and not get feelings, right? And the biology of males and female skew it a little towards women more likely to have feelings, even when they don't want to, right. Even when it's not the right guy. So we've recently noticed that with all the advent of pornography, young males are particularly spending a lot of time with that and developing porn addictions, even. And they're not having relationships. When you ask them what's going on, they kind of go, "Yeah, girls are kind of tough. You know, they're kind of difficult. But they got their porn. They're fine." And then they have a relationship when they're like 21 or 22. And of course, you know, relationships come and go at that age. When it doesn't work out, the girl goes, no, I'm not into this. We can be friends. He puts money
down. He gets
obsessed. Because he's decided this is the girl, so we'll be friends. They call us 18 months later and go, "Look, hey, she said be friends. And I've been a friend 18 months, and well, now it's time. Now it's time. Let's go.
I've
what do we need to do?
Level. Yeah. I've passed that level. It's time to go on to the next level, like a video game almost. Like
yeah.
I got two
and,
lives
and how
left.
Many ta- yeah. How many times have we gotten that call in the last 3 months?
It's getting kind of creepy.
It's getting weird. Yeah, almost yeah. daily now. Lindsay's our call screener,
Lindsay.
And you're hearing it over and over again.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
but it. But Lindsay, it really came recently, didn't it? Like last 4 months or so, it just became, woof, here it is.
Can we just talk, okay, this is something that, well, we do, I'll get to this in a minute, but I was did want to talk about how sex and relationships has changed, like since, like, but you've been doing Loveline for 30 years, I've been doing mine for 10 years, and it's really interesting to think about 10 years ago, like, I had a MySpace page, like, that was it, and a website. And there was flip phones, so there wasn't all the texting stuff. Like, if a guy texted me on some flip phone with a T9 or whatever it was he did, like, I wouldn't go out with a guy who texted me at all. You needed to pick up the phone and call. There was no sexting. I mean, I guess I phone sexed. I think it was better than that. And so things like that, like, just how it's changed. Like, there's a lot of porn.
Yeah.
People are not watching
well,
porn
Well, with social
all the time.
Media, everyone's having relationships before they even hang out with each other.
I know.
Like, you know everything about that person before you even have a date with them.
Yeah, that's why my rule is if you're dating somebody, like, you... How about people call into Loveline around the show? They're like, I'm really... Like, we don't even... Like, I'm really in love with this guy. Like, things are going well. Like, we've been communicating. Like, I just feel like he's awesome. Blah, 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 like, 10 minutes. But we haven't met yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You haven't met? Well, it's been 3 months, but like we know each other. We're so connected.
We're so in love.
I mean, don't let this go on. If you're, who's dates online? Anybody?
Come on.
Liars.
You're all
No,
on
these
Tinder.
Are all Sex with Emily listeners. They're
you're all on Tinder.
They're healthy.
I have
one Tinder date. I did it live at the station.
Anyway. She doesn't let me talk to the Tinder guys on our Tinder. Well, when she, I don't know, you're in a relationship now, but it's like, I don't want to bust her out. This was a long time ago. And I would mess with the guys, and she got very upset. I was like, this guy's a total creep. You don't even want to talk to him anyways. She's
you
like,
did?
No,
I don't even remember this.
I feel bad.
But the thing
He's
is
not
that
the four-time-a-day clitoris guy,
yeah.
was he?
No,
he was
no.
What?
That was a weird
Nothing.
Buddhist thing.
The
I don't think they're
guy?
Online.
Oh.
It was like, this is what helped me grow. I learn on the job.
Shame.
I learn on the job, okay?
Shame.
I learn best.
Shame.
No, the way that she described the compound where she did this is
the
very
compound.
Creepy. It's very
it's
creepy.
Better
Ethan
rooms.
It was like dark rooms and stuff like that. It was so weird.
No, it was like nice fluffy pillows in daylight. They put pillows under your back.
Yeah.
And they use a special cream where they massage your clit. It was.
We had to pat down the guy before he came into the radio station.
Right. And, you got good instincts.
Yeah.
What's the other question there?
okay. For those who travel, or in my case, get deployed, what are some rock-solid, long-distance relationship tips? Mm. Your favorite tailor, Jamal. Is Jamal here?
He must be. He wrote the question.
Jamal? Whoa. No way. Wait, Jamal.
Jamal rules.
I love you. I didn't know you were
forever.
Here. We've been writing for me for like...
Oh, Jamal.
You are like my longest time listener. I love him.
Come here.
Jamal.
everybody. What's going on? Did I dress the part?
Oh, you man. You did? Oh, you're looking fresh, man.
Can I sit down? You go. All right, then, fine.
Is this the guy that wanted to buy you a car?
I wish.
Not that guy.
Just kidding.
You didn't, didn't want to buy her a car. Did you?
No. Who was that?
I mean,
can we guess
number? You're hot, but I mean, that's a lot of money.
No, Jamal, like, it's, this is the other thing. If I did not thank you, I don't get to meet my listeners very much at all. So if we're all going to party after, too. There's drinks. Yes. Just so you know, I'm not going anywhere. But Jamal, hi.
How you doing?
Oh, my God. Okay, so what's
how long
going
you
on?
Been, no, well, you gotta tell them how long you've been writing the show.
How long have you been listening?
I started listening to you. I think you actually you were the second podcast I ever subscribed to in 06.
Wow.
What was the first? 06.
What was the first?
Say what?
What was the first?
I can't.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't exist anymore, right?
It doesn't compare done. To Sex done. With Emily, so it doesn't matter.
It was the
matter.
Worst show ever. No.
It doesn't compare to Sex with Emily. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was crazy because when podcasting first started coming on to when it went onto iTunes. Emily was like featured because there wasn't really any podcasts out there. So when you would go to iTunes, you would see Emily's face. And I think that's why CBS picked you up right away after 6 months. It was great.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It was sex too.
Yeah.
It was like, how did you hear about it? It's like Google sex, but yeah.
Now, do you remember any of the emails that you would send to the
You've
show?
You've said so many.
If you want to share.
I love that you're
one
here.
Of the ones I had sent was when I was in Baghdad from 2009 to 2010. I was keeping current with the show in Baghdad. It was weird when I first got there. I was in Camp Victory, and no shit, at least 4 or 5 days out of the week, you'd hear mortars falling, and it became normal. And I every now and then I'd be like, couldn't sleep. Did a new podcast come out? Yes. And, you know, they tried to give us internet. I mean, they tried to make things possible, but it was crazy slow. It took the better part of a day to download the podcast.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. But, I mean, I was on watch for 12 hours a day sometimes. So wow. What am I going to do? So I'd start it. I'd go on watch. I'd come back. Hopefully it'd be done. I'd listen. And then nothing except for old podcasts or re-listen to the new one. So I got a whole lot of, I got a whole bunch of things caught up. It did help, though. It did help a whole lot. One thing that I tried to get a lot of my friends who were about my age at the time, I was a lot younger, I'm 33 now. Guys get told what to do. They don't ever really get told to gauge feedback and gauge reaction. I never got that until I was listening to Sex with Emily. Yeah. And that's in the relationship, because your friends are like, oh, just do this, she'll like it.
Everyone is different. Okay. I never
It should be, try this, see what happens. Not do this because she'll like it, because you're hearing that from somebody who's your age, who's about as clueless as you are. So, and in the sex too, it's like, do this, it'll feel good to you. And Emily and Menace, it was like, try this, gauge the reaction. And
good. How's it going for you?
Phenomenal.
Been good?
Yes.
Phenomenal.
That's awesome.
Although, full disclosure, I'm single, so it's not really going that well, I guess.
It's okay, man.
So numbers game.
Do you want us to answer your question?
Yeah, please.
Rock solid long distance relationship tips. You've heard this on the show for 10 years. Okay, what? Are you in a relationship long distance?
No.
Are you trying to?
You just wanted to ask a question then.
Well, I mean.
But rock solid long distance relationship is that you have to communicate, because when you guys are, when you're separated from each other, you have to find a way to bridge that intimacy, like to keep it going, because obviously you're not going to be having sex. But luckily, so you have to make up the time to talk. Like, even if it's once a week, twice a week, like, you have to connect. But now there's so many ways to do it with, like, Skype, FaceTime. I mean, you can even have sex now. Like, you could get the remote control, like, vibrators, the Wii Vibe, whatever you can.
Remember when we talked about that?
It was.
Yeah. Remember when we talked about that about 10 years ago? We're like, people are going to be having sex through the internet. Like, one person's going to be having sex with one device, and the other person is, you know, going to be sitting on the other one.
Yeah.
And now we're here. It's crazy.
Yeah, the Kiru by, like, Fleshlight, they make these things where you actually can do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, my advice is that you have to make time for it. And also, if you're a long-distance relationship, make sure that there's some kind of end to it. You don't want long-distance relationships to be like, I don't know, we're just going to keep doing this, and then 10 years go by. Like, make sure that you are, like, eventually going to live in the same place and that you make time to, like I said, actually talk and connect sexually, even if you can't be in the same place. And when you are together, you like turn off your cell phones and you are connecting at those moments you are together, and you're having great sex every time too. Yeah.
Completely unrelated question.
Unrelated.
How come I'm the only person sweating up here?
Oh my God. I barely have clothes on, so I don't know.
Should I take this on? Thank you so much.
What about Jamal, you get a Sex with Emily t-shirt. Do you guys know we're selling these t-shirts out that I'm up? It says, I had sex with Emily and all I got was this t-shirt.
On the tramp stamp part?
I've been talking about it for 10 years and we're just going to freaking give you one. I can't even see her.
Cool. Yeah, Jamal, thank you.
Thank you, Jamal. No,
where's the shirt?
We're selling them like later.
It's true.
Oh, my dog?
Yeah, where's Chiro?
She's sleeping right now. I'm sorry.
Who's sleeping?
My dog, Chiro.
Oh, Chiro.
Emily used to have a dog and I told her not to have one. What happened to it?
No,
it's
that,
no, it's in a good place.
She's really.
Don't do that.
It's alive.
She's in a really good place. She's
no,
in Palm
she
Springs.
Sees the dog all the time. I'm just.
She's
I'm giving
really
her a hard
family.
Time. I was like.
He was like, what the hell are you doing with it? It was a bat. I was like doing misadvice. I had no money. I was scared of my apartment. I couldn't pay the rent. And I got a Jack Russell puppy.
Yeah.
And I love her still.
And it farted on me and I never
Springs.
Forgave it. Ever.
I know. She's a cute dog. Yeah. But I'm ready to get another one. I want Stanley. Stanley and I like, You were going to bring Stanley. He's like, I know you're nervous. Should I bring Stanley?
No, I was told not to bring the dog because this is a restaurant.
Kind of.
With
yeah.
food and he sheds.
So.
But thanks again, Jamal, so much.
Jamal, you're
no problem.
So nice to meet you. We're going to chat after.
Hey,
is everyone going to hang out? What?
Do you think there's a world where there's going to be like drone Sibians? Where like somebody in Jamal's case could like just Sibian, like drone in a Sibian to his long distance relationship and it lands on her front doorstep and she can just go hump it? You know what I mean?
And yeah, probably.
Like, that's going to be the future. Like, 10 years from now, if you're still in sex with Emily, that might be, like, one of your main...
A drone Sibian? Yeah, I mean, but now they're all...
Flying in! Like, with love, Jamal.
I think so.
Yeah. Do you want a Sibian?
Right now, it's new and controversial technology, but about 7 years, it's going to be... There's an app for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is, like, an app for everything. It's true. Remote control. When you're in a long distance, too, remote control vibrators. You could be like, babe, tonight I'm going out with my friends, and I know you're, like, 3,000 miles away, but you've got the... You can control them now on your phone.
Like what happens when people hack is my problem with it. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't
like,
care.
ISIS is going to hack that shit and like half
like
the country
sex
is
just
going to be having
new.
An orgasm and they're going to take over. That's the problem.
I wouldn't really care. Be like, that's cool. Having sex with someone else. I love it. Are there any other questions or anything at all? Because,
oh,
yeah.
There's one.
Hi.
I want to know if you've ever found any kind of sexual thing that was really weird for you.
Sexual thing that was weird for
if
you?
If I experienced anything weird or... You know what's so, I have to say something weird about that question, is that I get asked that all the time, like, did anything ever freak you out, or was there ever anything you were like, no, and either I just have a really bad memory, which I actually kind of do, but no, like, there's nothing that I can say, like, because I'm such an open, I'm like, I feel like I'm the kind of person that can be like, I can kind of understand that you might be, it's not for me, but that you could be on that page, and then so that I don't classify it weird, you do?
I don't know about that.
What have I, what?
Scat.
Maybe, I don't know. But okay,
scat. I mean, yes,
no, there's
probably.
That infamous question, right? Remember about the McDonald's thing? So there's the infamous question that I always ask, right? And I say, I tell her all the time, I go, Emily, what about if you met your dream guy? He's everything that you ever want him to be. But there's just this one thing. In the bedroom, he wants to dress up as the Hamburglar.
That's me too.
From McDonald's, right? And, I mean, would you be down with that? That's the only one thing.
And I said no.
No.
Because
no,
I was
no,
like,
no.
I wouldn't
no, no,
feel
no.
sexy. What?
Yeah.
But Grimace would be cool. Grimace would be okay.
No, he looks like a big, he's a big fat no. purple thing. No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel sexy as the Hamburglar.
Yeah, so see?
But if he channeled that and he was like, Then I wore the hamburger. I've come around.
Oh, you're
about
it now.
I'm like, do you think I'm sexy as the hamburger? And he was like, yeah, you look hot. Then I might get down with it.
Okay, because for the past 2 years, she's been off board, but tonight,
like, hamburger? That's so weird. I'm going to do that.
Anyways.
Okay, we got to,
Yes.
All right. Honestly, on my life, I'm just, this means so much to me that you all came. I was terrified. I've never done a live show, and it's all about you guys, because if you guys did not exist and listen to the show, I'd probably still be working at the Radiator Company, or maybe Starbucks, because I hear they do have good health benefits, which I still don't have. But thank you all. It means the world to me that you are here, and I am so grateful. And I look forward to the next 10 years. Who knows what's going to happen? So thank you. Thank you to my sponsors. And let's go have some more drinks and hang out. Thank you. Oh, and thank you to Drew and Menace and Anderson and everybody else who showed up. I love you all. And Mike Carano for taking killer pictures. Thank you, Ken, too. Ken, where are you? Ken, who works with me, Herskovitz. Can't say your name ever. But Ken, you rock. Thank you.